This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Thursday, March 22nd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. And the NFL has totally taken over the headlines. We'll start with the bigger national story. We'll get to Tim Tebow. That's a big story. But I think the bigger national story is what the NFL and Commissioner Pete Rozelle and Commissioner Roger Goodell has decided to do to the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, he would say the Saints did it to themselves. But he came down with severe penalties in Bounty Gate, if you will. Sean Payton, the head coach, suspended 1 year without pay. No head coach right now for the New Orleans Saints. Greg Williams, who I think was viewed to be essentially the creator and ringleader, if you will, of the whole let's go out and knock some of these guys out of the game and I'll give you money for it. Greg Williams, now the defensive coordinator at the St. Louis Rams, so the St. Louis Rams get screwed with having no, and despite having no involvement in this. Greg Williams suspended indefinitely, yet without pay. You have to think he's going to be gone for at least a year. Mickey Loomis, the general manager, gets 8 games without pay. Assistant head coach Joe Vitt, 6 games without pay. Apparently the owner knew nothing about it, but this is a gigantic blow to the New Orleans Saints. Coach gone for the year, GM gone for the first half of the year, assistant head coach gone for 6 games. Now again, there's always been kind of an informal knock them out of the game, hurt them, whatever, you get something. You know, some people say this is commonplace, but apparently the as big or bigger crime, if you will, was the fact that apparently Sean Payton on more than one occasion went into the NFL offices and lied to the NFL, saying he had no knowledge, it didn't exist, didn't know anything about it, and then apparently went to his assistants and told them to say the same thing. So people often say it's not the crime, it's the cover-up, but in this case, it's both. It's the crime and the cover-up. And maybe I'm using the word crime too loosely, but I'll tell you what. They're showing the hits repeatedly, if you saw it, of Kurt Warner as a Cardinal getting hammered after he threw an interception. Looked like the guy was trying to kill Kurt Warner. Now, you try and take the quarterback out on an interception. They've already changed that rule where if the quarterback is not trying to be engaged in the play to make a tackle, you can't touch him. But it used to be you would look for the quarterback to pound him anyway, clearly with this new bounty system that was on at the time, created by Greg Williams, admittedly. They could have severely injured, paralyzed, killed somebody. Think of the lawsuits that would have come out of that. And for all I know, there may be a lawsuit. If you have one of these guys on one of these teams, not New Orleans, for those at least 3 years that this was in effect, who got really hurt to the point of ending his career or damaging his career or giving him an eventual career-ending slash career-threatening injury, well, guess what? That's a lawsuit. So we'll have to see what happens, if anything, with that. But again, Roger Goodell was interviewed, and he said there were essentially 3 things. He, first and foremost, and of course there are other reasons for this that we'll get into, he obviously didn't want to put at risk the health and safety of players. Obviously, there's a time now with concussions, et cetera. If you have a bounty program where you go out of your way to hurt somebody, well, that's going to be dealt with severely. There were also, according to Commissioner Goodell, 3 years of denials from club officials. And again, I mentioned Sean Payton. Apparently, he went in and lied to them. Apparently, he told assistants to lie to the NFL. NFL investigators, and even his own owner. So, and finally, he said, look, we're going to hold head coaches accountable. So I thought, from what I had read and heard, that Greg Williams was the more guilty party, if you will. But it's on Sean Payton's watch, so he gets 1 year, no pay. I thought they might give him 6 or 8 games. But the fact that they've taken him out of the equation for an entire season is certainly a blow And I think a little more than expected. Everybody thought these were going to be severe. There were going to be severe consequences. But this, I think, is a little more. Some people did say up to a year, but my goodness. I thought you let the guy come back after half the season, 12 games at most. But now he's on the sidelines for a full year with no pay. Don't know if there's an appeal process. Nobody said there was, but normally the appeal in these situations goes right to the guy who made the decision. So it doesn't look like Goodell would reverse or limit his decision. Now, the interesting thing forward-looking, what's going to happen to these players? At least 22, up to 27 players were guilty of being involved, if you will, in this bounty system. And at least Adam Schefter was reporting today that he thought only the defensive captains would pay. Specifically, one guy who will pay is Jonathan Vilma, who's a pretty good linebacker for New Orleans and the Jets before that. We'll just have to see. Nothing has happened yet. Apparently, Goodell is in talking to the NFL Players Association, but this is not over yet in terms of that kind of stuff. The Saints, the team, was also fined $500,000, and they're also going to have to forfeit their second-round draft pick in 2012 and 2013. So, again, severe, severe consequences for the New Orleans Saints. Frankly, I think both on and off the field. For, yes, having a bounty program, but also lying about it, continuing it when they were told to stop. And Roger Goodell, again, looking at potential lawsuits and existing lawsuits, for example, that retired players lawsuit where they all say the NFL knew about concussions 10, 20, 30 years ago and did nothing to protect the players. Goodell certainly wants to give the impression that this is all he cares about now. You'll recall, I think it was only 3 or 4 years ago, the NFL hired some, quote, independent doctors, close quote, to determine whether concussions or whether the banging in football, the head-to-head collisions, et cetera, had any long-term effects. And essentially they got some guy to come out and say, yeah, well, not really. We don't really think there is any long-term effects. And, of course, now that's become a joke with the work that Chris Nowinski and others have done in terms of how bad it really is with these concussions. Going back to kids who play Pop Warner football and high school football. This isn't a thing just in pro football. So he's very sensitive to these issues. The NFL is being sued, and I think will be sued again on the concussion issue, on the protect the players issue, on the what did the NFL know and when did they know it. So he really had no choice but to come down very hard on Peyton Williams and Mickey Loomis. Now, Sean Payton will be barred from April 1st to March 31st of the following year. He can't have contact with the team. Adam Schefter said he might have some informal stuff. I don't know what that means. Essentially, he's barred from the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees tweeted, you know, I'm speechless. You know, what a great guy Sean Payton is, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, obviously the Saints are almost going to start the season with one hand tied behind their back. Yeah, they have a lot of time to get ready, but this is a huge blow. Who's going to be the new head coach? Well, apparently there are two candidates. The offensive coordinator, Pete Carmichael, has been there for a while. The new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, obviously has just come to town, but does have head coaching experience, albeit not very good head coaching experience with the St. Louis Rams. So it's going to be whether you want the guy who's been with Sean Payton and knows the Saints, even though he hasn't been a head coach in the league, Pete Carmichael, or do you want to hire the guy, because it's probably only for a year, who has head coaching experience, who already knows all the pitfalls of being the head coach. That would be Steve Spagnuolo, who, of course, came to fame as the Giants' defensive coordinator when they beat the unbeatable Patriots in that first Super Bowl. The Giants beat the Patriots 5 years ago. So that's really the news out of New York, where Roger Goodell is, and, of course, New Orleans, where the Saints are. But, my goodness, this is clearly he's sending a message if anyone else is even thinking about doing this. They certainly won't do it formally. The real question is, as many have maintained, will they continue to do it informally, as according to many players and executives has been going on, something that's been going on for decades in the National Football League. The other gigantic story in sports today, and it's frankly, we'll talk about the Sweet 16 tonight, but it's blown the Sweet 16 off the sports pages. I mean, there's no conversation about these things. Really amazing to me. But the other thing is Tim Tebow traded by the Denver Broncos to the New York Jets. That's the number one story in New York, I can tell you that. If you see the back page of the Daily News, I know a lot of people don't read newspapers anymore, but if you see the back page of the Daily News, it's hysterical. They have Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, in a crouching position, Tebowing. And they're already calling it Tebow Town, Tebow Mania, Tim Sanity to go along with Lynn Sanity. I'm sure you get that. But Tebow goes from Denver to the New York Jets. The Jets get Tim Tebow and a seventh-round draft choice. Denver gets this year's fourth-round pick and sixth-round pick from the Jets. And, of course, you probably heard the deal was done, and then there was a dispute about a clause, a $5 million clause in the contract where supposedly the Jets had to pay that $5 million. The Jets thought Denver had to pay that $5 million. They must have had a couple of phone calls because both teams really wanted to do this deal. And they decided that the Jets would pay Denver $2.5 million. So the Jets get Tebow and Denver's seventh rounder next year, and Denver this year, and Denver gets $2.5 million plus the Jets' fourth round pick and sixth round pick. Now, apparently, in the perfect world, Tim Tebow wanted to go home to Jacksonville. Obviously, he was a legend at Florida. But apparently the Jacksonville offer wasn't quite as good as the New York Jets offer. So Tebow winds up going to New York. And it also seemed, again, according to Adam Schefter, that the Jets really wanted Tebow. That Sparano, who, you know, introduced the Wildcat that night against the New England Patriots and shocked them and beat them. Tony Sparano is the guy who introduced the Wildcat into the NFL. So Tebow is really wanted by the owner, Woody Johnson. Obviously, he's going to sell a lot of tickets. Obviously, he's going to sell a lot of jerseys. Sparano has a Wildcat package already for him. Rex Ryan is on board. And apparently, that was not true in Jacksonville. So Tim Tebow goes to the Jets. Already, a lot of people in New York are saying that's the end of Mark Sanchez. What happens if he has, for example, five interceptions in the first two games? And the Jets go 0-2, you know, an interesting scenario, because now you don't have, well, now you have a legitimate number two quarterback who has had success in the league. You can criticize his passing all you want. He did throw for over 300 yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game. But everybody does understand the problems with Tim Tebow. However, he's got that quality, and we talked about it when he started playing last year. He's got that quality. He has that ability to win, that will to win, that inspirational stuff that makes everybody around him want to try harder. That's certainly what happened in Denver. You recall they were 1-4, and then they wound up making the playoffs, and then to me they wound up stunning the Steelers. I understand it was a Denver home game, which, of course, is ridiculous when you're 8-8. But they beat the Steelers, and that was just unbelievable. Now, the Steelers went 8-9 in the box. You remember the overtime touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas, where they had like 9 in the box, so the guy ran a slant, 10-yard slant, caught it, and ran like 85 yards, you know, 85-yard pass play to win the game on the first play of overtime when Denver, in my view, stunned. I can't believe people now don't think that was an unbelievable upset, but it was. So Tim Tebow is a Jet. What does that mean for Mark Sanchez? What does that mean for New York football? Certainly the Jets have not only knocked the Giants off the back pages, but knocked everybody off the back pages in New York in sports sections. But again, being a Giants guy like I am, you know what happens at the end of the day. Eli Manning and the Giants won a Super Bowl. Now they've won two Super Bowl. They beat a team that the Jets can almost never get over the hump against, the Patriots. They beat them not once, but twice in the biggest game in the world. So when this all dies down, the Jets have a lot of other problems than who's going to be their quarterback. And they've already announced, of course, Sanchez is the starter. Tebow is the backup, and he'll run some Wildcat plays. But remember, if things go bad early on with the Jets, people are going to be clamoring for Tim Tebow immediately. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promise is asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the NHL. We'll get to some Sweet 16 stuff. We'll even get to some miscellaneous NFL and MLB stuff. First, we're going to go to the NBA games, some very interesting games last night. The Clippers, I thought, could maybe make a run with Oklahoma City. Obviously, Miami, Oklahoma City, the two best teams. I thought the Clippers with Blake Griffin, Chris Paul could maybe make a run, but clearly no match for Oklahoma City. Yesterday, the Clippers go into Oklahoma City to play the Thunder, and the Thunder just bury the Clippers, go beat them 33-20 in the second quarter to be up 16 at the half, and then the Thunder coast home 114-91 over the Clippers. A few interesting things here if you haven't heard. Derek Fisher has signed on with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, to me, with Durant and Westbrook and Harden, I would think it's going to be hard to get Fisher minutes, but he certainly has five rings, a great presence, can still shoot an open three. Yesterday, in his first appearance for Oklahoma City coming off the bench, obviously, he played 19 minutes, 5 points, one rebound, one assist, but it's a lot more than the numbers he's going to put up. He's even credited with a block, but it's a lot more, obviously, a presence in the locker room the day he walks in. Might have more rings than the whole Oklahoma City team combined. I know Durant and Westbrook and Ibaka, those guys don't have a ring. Maybe Perkins does from the Celtics, but whatever. The point is he's going to be a steadying influence. He's going to be able to help the younger guys, and as I said, can still make an open three when he has to. Thunder 114, Clippers 91. Durant goes for 32, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Westbrook, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Serge Ibaka, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 of those rebounds, offensive rebounds, and 3 blocks. Harden off the bench, 10 points. For the Clippers, again, when Griffin and Paul, when one of them doesn't have a great game, they got a lot of problems. Yesterday, Griffin was not good, 3 for 11 from the field, 7 points, 7 rebounds. And Paul was good, not great, 13 points, 10 assists, 5 steals. But that's why this was no contest. Foy, 23 points, 2 assists, but really not a lot of help for the Los Angeles Clippers. Maybe they are just a two-man team. And certainly, again, when one of them doesn't play up to his potential, Griffin with 7 points, then they really can't go with the big boy. So it's looking like Oklahoma City, yes, the Lakers are a little better, and we'll get to them later, but it's looking like Oklahoma City and Miami are the two best teams in the NBA right now. An interesting game on a number of levels. Now, I know ESPN actually led with this game in the NBA, which I don't know. I think it's a little ridiculous, but you can draw your own conclusions. The now 16-30 Detroit Pistons go into Denver to play the Nuggets. Denver 26-21 now after they beat the Pistons 116-115. I guess it was a record-tying performance, and maybe that's why it was so high, because of Ben Gordon, who was 13-22 from the field but 9-9 from three-point range. That ties his record. He, along with Luttrell Sprewell, for the NBA record for the most three-pointers without missing in NBA history. And, of course, NBA history with a three-pointer only goes back to the mid-'80s. So, you know, Jerry West never took a three-pointer, for example, just to take one guy. But here's what was much more interesting to me. And, look, salute Ben Gordon, a very good player. Obviously, scores 45 in an NBA game, 9-9 from three. That's unbelievable. But here's what happened at the end of the game that I found unbelievable. With about 10 seconds left, Denver has the ball down three. And Aaron Aflalo gets the ball off a pick beyond the three-point arc, literally gets it in his hands with about 8 seconds left, and to me, inexplicably goes to the basket. But equally inexplicably, Ben Gordon, who was guarding Aflalo, takes a swipe at the ball as Aflalo is driving to the basket. Again, down three, game's over, or, you know, there's 5 seconds left in the game if you score a layup. The other team is up one, gets fouled, they go back the other way and shoots fouls. But Ben Gordon reaches out, tries to strip Aflalo, fouls Aflalo. Aflalo then makes the layup to cut it to one with 5 seconds left, and Aflalo goes to the line for one to tie up the game. Okay? Now, Aflalo goes to shoot, and he misses the foul shot, but JaVale McGee in his first game as a member of the Denver Nuggets, and here's his quote. "I just went hard and pushed Greg Monroe under the rim." So McGee shoves Monroe under the rim. Then he's all by himself. The miss comes right to him. He goes up and dunks it in. And the Nuggets beat Detroit 116-115. There were so many stupid plays in those last 10 seconds, it's hard to even count them all. Why a guy down three would go to the basket? Why a guy up three would foul a guy going to the basket? Why a guy underneath would let another guy even remotely shove him out of the way? I mean, it was just absurd. Now, Gordon got an okay look at a two, because they got the ball back with like 2.5 seconds left. He got an okay look at a two, but didn't make it. Preserved his 9-for-9 from three, but Denver beats Detroit. Denver 116. Detroit 115. And again, you salute Ben Gordon, but the fact that he would foul a guy going to the basket when his team was winning by three with like 6 or 5 seconds left, it, you know, again, it's just, it's inexplicable. Another big win for the Knicks. You got to give Mike Woodson some credit. The only thing, looking back at the timing of all of this, the timing seems curious now. There are other suggestions coming out that D'Antoni was fired and did not quit. But I'll just say this. I never understood and will never understand, why is it that Mike D'Antoni, after like playing on the road against the Celtics and then going to San Antonio and Dallas back-to-back, how is it that he decided to quit when they were going to play lowly Portland at Madison Square Garden? I mean, look at what their schedule has become. Portland, Indiana, home and home. The Toronto Raptors, now the 76ers. Now they have a couple of other easy games after this. So, I don't know, maybe D'Antoni was trying to do the right thing, but it is just bizarre to me that he would quit as the Knicks run into, I won't call it weak, because Indiana back-to-back and Philly in Philly is not weak. In fact, give this Knicks team credit now, because when Linsanity was in full bloom, the best road wins they had were against Minnesota, an okay team, and the Raptors, a bad team. Now they've beaten Indiana and Philadelphia on the road since Woodson has taken over, and those are two teams that are good, not great teams, in the East, but more importantly, two teams that are ahead of the Knicks that the Knicks are trying to catch, and they can make a run at teams like the 76ers. So, just bizarre. But again, yesterday, the Jeremy Lin show continues to me. He was terrible from the field, but he was 10-for-10 from the free throw line. The Knicks in a low-scoring, Knicks playing much better defense, low-scoring game, beat Philadelphia 82-79. Jeremy Lin scores 16 of his 18 points in the fourth quarter, including 10-for-10 from the free-throw line. So it's not Linsanity, but again, if you have a guy who's probably going to average, let's say, 16-7 or 16-8, he also had 5 rebounds yesterday, 18 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds for Lin. Amari Stoudemire showing a little life, 21 points, 9 rebounds, seemed to have a little spring. I mean, again, I don't know what this is. Carmelo Anthony, who admitted he's playing with more energy now, whatever that means. And, of course, the New York writers went right to Mike Woodson and said, what does that mean? Of course, the implication being he dogged it when he played for D'Antoni. Mike Woodson said, man, I have no idea. And, of course, Mike Woodson wants nothing to do with that. He just wants the Knicks job next year. Well, he's on his way so far with a 5-0 record. Again, with wins over Portland and Toronto that you would think any coach would have won, but with home and away wins against Indiana and now a road win against Philadelphia, that's pretty good. Another bizarre thing, you know, we talk about how much bigger, faster, stronger than it used to be for all the athletes, not just the NBA, but everybody is bigger, faster, stronger, right? Well, the Knicks are up 3 very late in the game. Actually, they're up 6, and the 76ers hit a 3-point shot, and the ball goes in with 3.8 seconds left. Doug Collins is screaming on the sidelines at the top of his lungs, foul, foul, foul. The Knicks get the ball in, one pass, and nobody goes near the guy who got the pass. And the Knicks actually were able to run out the last 3.8 seconds in a 3-point game, something that's unheard of in the NBA. So again, bigger, faster, stronger, absolutely. Smarter, know the game better, not a chance. Not a chance. Between that Detroit-Denver game and the last 3.8 seconds of the Knicks-Philly game, you got to wonder, what are these guys thinking? But a big win for the Knicks. They go to 23-24, trying to get to 500. Philadelphia drops to 26-21. Stoudemire, again, 21 points, 9 rebounds. Carmelo, bad shooting night, 5-for-15. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. For Philadelphia, Drew Holiday, pretty good point guard, 16 points, 6 assists. Iguodala, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Elton Brand hanging around, 12 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. Lou Williams off the bench with 13. Jody Meeks off the bench with 13, but not enough. Philly's got a good team, but they don't have as much talent as the Knicks, and Doug Collins has done a great job, but you got to be able to get your guys to foul. I mean, not his fault. He was screaming at the top of his lungs. But you got to get your guys to foul when you're down 3 with 3.8 seconds left and the other team gets the ball in. Another interesting game, more to me, because it was Bruce Bowen night in San Antonio. San Antonio beats the Timberwolves 116-100, and I understand Bruce Bowen was an excellent defensive player. I understand he won 3 titles with San Antonio. I didn't realize he was so good that they would retire his number, but they did last night. San Antonio 116, the Timberwolves 100. The immediate problem for the Spurs as a team is that Tony Parker had to leave the game in the second quarter. He had a hamstring tweak, so they took him out of the game. But nevertheless, San Antonio goes on to win. San Antonio 116, Timberwolves 100. Now, the Timberwolves did not have Nikolai Pekovic. If you've watched him play, he's the other big man besides Kevin Love. He's a key part of that team. He's the second leading scorer and the second leading rebounder. I don't have to tell you who the leading rebounder and scorer is, but Kevin Love had 17 points and 12 rebounds. But for San Antonio, again, with Parker only playing 10 minutes and scoring 2 points, Tim Duncan getting, what, a third wind in his career? 21 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists in 24 minutes. Unbelievable. Even Ginobili, he's still coming off the bench, 25 minutes, 9 points, 4 rebounds. But they're getting help from a lot of other guys. Kawhi Leonard with 16, Green with 14, Jackson with 16, Neal with 16, Diago Splitter with 11. I mean, they're getting lots and lots of help from lots and lots of guys. Spurs move to 30-14. Minnesota hovering around 500 for what seems like the last 6 weeks or so, 23-25. Couple of other games quickly to get to. The Lakers go into Dallas and pound the Mavericks 109-93. Kobe Bryant, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Pau Gasol playing, I think, much better now, frankly, since the trade deadline passed. 27 points, 9 rebounds. Off the bench, Ramon Sessions, the key acquisition, if you will, to replace Derek Fisher. Off the bench, 28 minutes, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. They're starting Blake for the time being. I don't know how long that's going to last. Blake starts and plays 17 minutes. Sessions comes off the bench and plays 28 minutes. For Dallas, Nowitzki with 26 and 10 rebounds. And Terry off the bench with 23 points. but nobody else in double figures for Dallas. The Lakers moved to 29-18, and of course the knock on them was road victories all year. They get a good one yesterday. Lakers moved to 29-18. Dallas drops to 27-21. 109-93 Lakers. One other game to talk about in overtime. The Hawks beat the Cavaliers 103-102. Josh Smith with 32 and 17 rebounds, 5 assists for the Hawks. Joe Johnson, the quiet superstar, 22.6 rebounds, 5 assists for Atlanta. For Cleveland, Kyrie Irving, already a star, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, not enough. Cleveland drops to 17 and 27. Atlanta moves up to 27 and 20. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transfer warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to do a little miscellaneous NFL stuff, a lot of stuff going on. Yesterday was Robert Griffin III's pro day, or Baylor's pro day, where Robert Griffin III threw. You recall he moved it up one day so it wouldn't conflict with Andrew Luck's pro day, which is today. So Robert Griffin III threw 51 scripted passes, threw for NFL personnel for the first time. Obviously, most people have him locked in at number two to the Washington Redskins. But also today at the Stanford Pro Day, Andrew Luck is going to throw. Obviously, he's viewed to be the number one pick, so we'll see if there's any change in the minds of the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, they're starting over, and you have to think they're going to start over with Andrew Luck, who is still viewed to have a bigger side than Robert Griffin III. And it is funny, because people certainly didn't realize what a good athlete Andrew Luck is, but he certainly at the combines wowed everybody with his athleticism. So it might be one of these you can't go wrong. I don't think this is Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. But Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin look like they'll be the one and two draft picks in that order to Indianapolis and Washington, respectively. But a few other things. They take a couple of nice players away from the Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, who must be in it to win it after giving Mario Williams all that money. They signed Mark Anderson, who was really a sleeper for the Patriots this year and had a very good season. Unfortunately, I have to watch all the Patriots games because my son loves the Patriots. But he had 10 sacks this year. He might have been their best down lineman. Obviously, Vince Wilfork in terms of stopping the run, if anything. But Anderson, definitely their best pass rusher, and really was an under-the-radar guy. But as is the Patriots' way, he probably wanted too much money. I would think they wanted to bring him back, because the Patriots' defense obviously is not that great. But Mark Anderson signs with the Buffalo Bills, and not only does Buffalo get a guy, they take a guy away from the Patriots. And the Cincinnati Bengals sign the very good running back from the Patriots, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, to a three-year deal. And, of course, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, who is a tough guy, I don't think you can call him a great running back, but you can call him a good to very good running back. But the reason teams might think he's almost great is because he's never fumbled in his NFL career, and that's an amazing statistic. And I think now he's at the point where he's had 400 or 500 carries in his career, maybe even more, frankly. But the Patriots get hurt today, I think. No Mark Anderson, no Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. Now, you know the Patriots will get a running back somehow. They do it by committee generally. But again, hard to find a guy who never fumbles. In fact, I think Green-Ellis is the only guy who never fumbles. So the Bills get Mark Anderson. The Bengals sign Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis to a three-year contract. A few other things. In the NFL, Jeff Fisher, I guess he felt obligated to come out and, you know, say that he's the new coach of the St. Louis Rams, I'm sure you know, came out and said, you know, we knew nothing about what Greg Williams was doing. I like and respect Greg Williams, but we totally support the commissioner and his decision, obviously, just, you know, coming out and saying all the right things and, of course, pushing themselves away from that mess where Fisher had already hired Greg Williams as his defensive coordinator to come to St. Louis, but obviously that's not going to happen now. So they'll have to, you know, that gives the Rams a minor problem. Now they have to go out and get a defensive coordinator as well. And finally, the NFLPA voted unanimously, or the representatives of the players voted unanimously to bring back D. Smith as the head of the players' union. Certainly, he did a pretty good job during that lockout, certainly showed that the players were not going to back down to the owners, and he is, by unanimous vote, back as the head of the NFL Players Association. I want to take a quick look at the Sweet 16, four games tonight, four games tomorrow. Then, of course, you'll have the Elite Eight, which will get you to the Final Four by Sunday night. But tonight in the East, up in Boston, fourth seed Wisconsin and first seed Syracuse will play. Now, you know the problem for Syracuse, no Fab Melo. And they've won both of their games, but they certainly, you know, I picked Ohio State to beat them before the tournament in the next game. But Wisconsin certainly an excellent defensive team, and Syracuse without their big man. Wisconsin not a very good scoring team, but that should be a good game. Wisconsin 4, Syracuse 1. That is at 7:15 Eastern. We'll get to what stations a little later. And the other game right after that, also up in Boston, obviously, 6-seed Cincinnati, kind of a surprise to me, playing 2-seed Ohio State. I obviously think Ohio State's going to win this game. I like them to win it all before the season. I picked them to make the Final Four, but not to win it all in my pool. Obviously, of just a week ago or whenever we started finishing our pools. I guess it was a week ago today. Those are the two games in the East. That game's at 9:45 or 30 minutes after Wisconsin-Syracuse. In the West, number four Louisville against number one Michigan State. Patino has done a very good job with this Louisville team. Peyton Siva is one of the top point guards in the country. Don't think they can get by Michigan State. Draymond Green, one of the best players in the country. Keith Appling, an excellent player as well. And then in the other game, Florida and number three Marquette. I picked Marquette to get to the Elite Eight before the tournament. I picked Michigan State and Ohio State to get to the Final Four. And Kansas to win it all, frankly. Two number ones and two number twos I have in my Final Four. But in any event, Marquette should handle Florida. Billy Donovan doing a great coaching job at Florida. These two games in Phoenix. Louisville, Michigan State at 7:47, 22-minute differential. So you can watch the, I guess, ends of all of these games tonight if you want to. And then following that, scheduled now for 10:17, 7-seed Florida against 3rd-seed Marquette, both of these games in Phoenix. Obviously, I like Marquette, tough Big East team. This Jay Crowder is unbelievable, Big East Player of the Year. Watch him play. He's a heck of a player. He's got those long, I guess, dreadlocks behind his head down his back, but he's an unbelievable player. So I like Marquette to play Michigan State to come out of that West region. I pick Michigan State to go to the Final Four, but not to win at all. So those are your four games tonight: Wisconsin, Syracuse, Cincy, Ohio State, Louisville, Michigan State, Florida, Marquette. And that should set you up for an exciting weekend where the Elite Eight, obviously four more games tomorrow, the Elite Eight will be reduced to the Final Four. One other note, a baseball note, actually two other notes. The baseball note is Steven Strasburg yesterday was named to be the opening day pitcher for the Washington Nationals. Now, Strasburg, you'll recall, came up, lit the world on fire, hurt his arm in September of 2010, had Tommy John surgery, which you probably know usually means a year, and did mean a year in this case. He came back late last year, started five times, had like a 1.50 ERA. He was only 1-1 in his five starts, but that's, you know, that's irrelevant. The fact is he threw hard, he was healthy, and now he has been named the opening day starter for the Washington Nationals. And again, you always think of the AL East as the most interesting slash probably the best division in baseball, with not always the eternal Red Sox and Yankees, but now the Tampa Bay Rays have thrown themselves in the mix, making the playoffs two of the last 3 years. But now when you look at that NL East, and you see, of course, the Phillies with the best pitching in baseball still, and they've got their issues. Ryan Howard has that Achilles problem. Chase Utley has that knee problem. But they still send out a top starter every day. And then you have the Atlanta Braves, who are very good, the Washington Nationals, who are much improved. People are now saying this Bryce Harper, called already by some the next Mickey Mantle, which is always a stretch for me, but they're expecting him to be in the majors by June, and they gave Jason Worth a lot of money. He should be better his second year. The Nationals have done a lot to try and be good now, good this year, and for years to come. So that's a very tough division. Of course, the Miami Marlins, new name, new team, new manager, Ozzie Guillen, new shortstop, Jose Reyes, as Hanley Ramirez moves to third. I mean, my goodness, that is a tough division. And then you have the Mets, and the hope for the Mets, obviously, is Johan Santana can come back healthy. And if Johan Santana can come back healthy, then you're dropping a number one starter, or maybe a number two if he's not as good as he once was, into the Met rotation. And that is something that would be like a plus eight games for the Mets. I think they would win eight more games if Santana could start than if he couldn't start. Finally, one golf note, and it's more about, I don't understand why this happens, but Tiger Woods playing in the Arnold Palmer Invitational today. I think I saw a score. He was 2-under after nine holes in the first round. But yesterday, apparently tried to stop in the middle of his downswing during practice when a photographer was snapping a picture of him. It bothered Tiger, so he tried to stop in the middle of the swing and then got a twinge in his back. Afterwards, he said, yeah, it just hurt a little, but I'll be okay for tomorrow, and then tomorrow being today, and he is playing today, but it's interesting to me. I don't know why in practice you wouldn't just swing through. I understand it's distracting and upsetting and bothersome, and Tiger Woods was furious, but, and I can understand if it's a tournament why you would stop, but who cares if you hit a bad practice shot because some guy's snapping a picture of you. Again, it just makes no sense to me. It's all part of this. In my view, as we've discussed for over a year now, Tiger Woods ain't getting back to where he used to be. He can be a good pro golfer. He can win a tournament once in a while. Maybe he can even win a major once every once in a while, but he's not getting the 19 to beat Jack Nicklaus. That's not happening, and there are so many things, just, you know, another injury and all those surgeries and what I always talk about. He does not have that on-the-edge life that he had when he was sleeping with all these women all over the country. There are just some things you can't duplicate. Plus, he's getting older. Plus, he's injured more. Plus, he's having trouble putting. Plus, he's on his third swing coach. Again, hard to believe that he's going to get back to where he was. But I don't understand. And frankly, I'll even try and talk to a few of my much more expert golfing buddies. If they can tell me why you would not stop in the middle of your down, why you wouldn't complete your swing in practice. Again, if it's a tournament, I totally understand you don't want to shank a shot or, you know, double bogey or whatever, but why in practice? Who cares where the ball goes? To me, anyway, it should seem that you shouldn't really care where the ball goes in practice. If the downside is, of course, if you try and pull up on your swing, you might get hurt. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that. So we'll have to see how it shakes out for Tiger. Again, he is golfing in the Arnold Palmer Invitational tournament. He's won six times. He was 2 under after 9, and we'll see where that goes. But clearly, whenever Tiger Woods even twinges his back in the practice rounds, that's front page news in the world of golf. Want to switch now to the National Hockey League. Few interesting games yesterday. Detroit comes into the Garden to play the Rangers. Now, Detroit, you know, an unbelievable team at home, having their problems on the road. An excellent game, well played, if you watched it, which I did. Detroit actually started Ty Conklin, the 35-year-old journeyman. Rangers go with the King, of course, who was on, you know, he's highlighted in one of those HBO Real Sports, which we'll talk about briefly right after this. The Rangers get the win in overtime. Rangers 2, Red Wings 1. Henrik Zetterberg started the scoring for Detroit with his 19th. Brad Richards was one of those. This is the second time I've seen him do it in a week. Very few players can go end-to-end in the NHL, but Brad Richards is one of them. This is the second time he's done it. Lundqvist gives him the puck behind the net. Richards goes the length of the ice and scores, splitting three guys inside the blue line. Scores his 24th of the year, 1-1. No scoring in the second or third period. And then it's Ryan Callahan, 2:42 into overtime, who gets the game winner. His 27th of the year from Delzato and Dubinsky at 2:42 of overtime. Yes, Detroit gets a point, and given their road record, probably happy about that. But the Rangers get the win. Rangers 2, Detroit 1. Rangers now 3 points up on the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins idle last night and with a game in hand, so they can cut that lead to 1 and then be even in games. But the Rangers holding on. Look, I don't think the Rangers, I'm a Rangers guy, but I don't think they're better than the Penguins, especially Sidney Crosby the other night, 4 assists. I mean, if Crosby's playing and healthy, I think they're the best team in hockey. But as I said before, without him, I don't think they're Stanley Cup winners. Malkin might be the MVP, and they have an excellent team without Crosby. But I think if you want to get to the promised land, if you're Pittsburgh, you're going to need Sidney Crosby. Rangers 2, Detroit 1. The only thing I wanted to say about Lundqvist, and to me this makes my head explode, they did a 15-minute feature on HBO Real Sports about Lundqvist. You know what a great goalie he is. He likes to play in a rock and roll band. His good looks are unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. And they're trying to explain why he's even better this year. He's always been good in the NHL. But if you're a Ranger fan, or even if you follow the Rangers, you know Lundqvist's problem from the get-go when he came in and he won a gold medal with Sweden is that he's always tired at the end of the season. The Rangers never really had a really good backup who could play a ton of games. They've never had that. Finally, last year, they went out and got Marty Baron, who could be the guy, but he got hurt last year. So the Rangers were always seemed to be in a battle to make the playoffs or just get into the playoffs, and Lundqvist had to play way too many games. Well, this year, they have Marty Baron healthy. He's played very well. And just as important for the Rangers, they're in first place. They're making the playoffs. The question is, how high a seed will they be? So Lundqvist should get the rest he needs this year. He has been rested during the year. And I think that, more than anything, is going to be the reason why the Rangers can make a legitimate run at the Stanley Cup this year. Because, as you know, you need that incredibly hot goaltender. That's what you need more than anything. Remember, it's like starting your number one pitcher every day. That's what the Rangers need in the playoffs from the King, Henrik Lundqvist. Good win for the Rangers, 2-1 over Detroit. Vancouver goes to Chicago, and Chicago beats Vancouver, the Blackhawks 2, the Canucks 1, Kane with his 20th. Shaw in overtime gets his 11th to win the game. Hansen scores his 15th for Vancouver. Chicago 2, Vancouver 1. St. Louis goes out to Anaheim. St. Louis having an unbelievable year as well. They have 38 shots on goal, but they lose to Anaheim. Anaheim 4, St. Louis 3. Jaden Schwartz with his second of the year got St. Louis up 1-0, and then David Backes put him up 2-1 after Cam Fowler scored. Backes with his 22nd. Nick Bonino ties up the game for Anaheim. Then in the third period, David Perron scores his 16th to put St. Louis ahead. So St. Louis is ahead 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. But in the end of the third period, Devontae Smith-Pelly scores his 6th. Jason Blake at 14:06 scores the game winner. Anaheim 4, St. Louis 3. Very good win for Anaheim. Ryan Miller gets his career-high 6 shutout in the season. The Sabres shut out the Canadiens 3-0. Hodgson with 2 goals is 17th and 18th of the year for Buffalo. Pominville scores his 28th of the year. The Hurricanes beat the Panthers 3-1. Stahl with his 22nd and 23rd goals of the year. Fleischman with his 23rd for the Panthers. Hurricanes 3, Panthers 1. Want to get to the TV for tonight. Obviously, the NCAA tournament takes center stage, but I'll say it again. Between Tim Tebow signing with the Jets and the whole New Orleans Saints debacle, there was like no Sweet 16 coverage. I mean, it was amazing. Nothing on ESPN, nothing on the back pages of the newspapers that I saw. Just amazing to me. But in any event, the NCAA now, when you don't play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday till Thursday night, obviously you can kind of lose the momentum, if you will, that you have during those first 4 days where there's 16 games, 16 games, 8 games, 8 games. But whatever, tonight on CBS at 7:15 Eastern, Syracuse against Wisconsin, followed at 7:45 on TBS, 7:45 Eastern, Michigan State and Louisville. Then after the first games on CBS, scheduled right now for 9:50, depending on when the games end, 9:50 Eastern, that's Ohio State, Cincinnati. And then at 10:22 Eastern on TBS, Marquette and Florida, a 3-7. Basketball, one game tonight on the NBA Network. Celtics at the Bucks, an interesting game because the Celtics are just ahead of the Knicks in 7th. The Bucks are just behind the Knicks in 9th place in the East, so that's an interesting game. 8 o'clock Eastern, Celtics at Milwaukee. One good hockey game on the NHL Network, 7 p.m. Eastern, Nashville in Pittsburgh to play the Penguins. You can see, you know, Crosby and Malkin, 7 o'clock Eastern on the NHL Network. If you're into exhibition baseball, and I try and watch it when I can, at least at night, Astros at Mets, 1 o'clock Eastern on SNY. MLB Network, if you get it, Royals at the Angels, 4 o'clock Eastern. And if you're a Northeastern guy or a Yankee guy like I am, tonight, 7 o'clock, even exhibition games, you try and watch these games. Yankees at Red Sox, 7 o'clock Eastern on the YES Network, which is, of course, the Yankee Network. Always interesting to see what Bobby Valentine, it'll be interesting all year what Bobby Valentine will say and do as the manager of the Boston Red Sox. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.